This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA. Don't take no style. Got a thirst for killing.
Welcome back into the Hull Show. We're doing a kind of a mixed thing today. We're going to have Football Friday because I'll be out tomorrow. So we'll do Football Friday in the 1 o'clock hour. I know it's freaking everybody out. They're going to be so confused when that time hits. Hey, let's get through some of the confusion going on at Colorado State. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining me. Kevin, my man, how are you?
I'm just confused. I mean, Football Friday
on a Thursday.
I mean, I'm gonna have to take a nap to from the fatigue my brain is being put through.
Up is down, down is up. It's all over the place, man. But I guess that's to be expected this time of year when it comes to college football. We think we know a lot, and then the games happen, and we realize we know nothing. I want to get into that game a little bit with you last week against Middle Tennessee, Kevin. But we did get some interesting news, a couple of pieces of news this week. Dante Wright is leaving the program. He is going to enter the transfer portal.
Yeah, this one obviously in some ways a surprise, but in other ways maybe not so much. I mean, I had talked about this around with some folks around the program. That cover the program wonder if this might happen, with Dante not being involved in the first couple games. And, with the 4-game redshirt rule, you see, not just Dante, but there will be, other players, around college football that, kind of say they're leaving a program, before they play a 5th game because you can preserve a redshirt. And Dante obviously has not played much right now. I think he has 8 snaps this year. CSU just isn't rotating receivers. They're using that top 3, and because they can't sustain drives and they can't really go 5 wide because they can't block people right now, they just haven't had to use more than 3. And like I've been saying since spring, Dante wasn't going to be one of the top 3, and that's proven true. Not surprised that a good player. I think he'll find a home, hopefully be able to have some good success his final 2 years. I know there's a lot of fan angst, but in a lot of ways, this probably wasn't a shocking move, but definitely a bummer of an ending to, what started as a really, really bright start. That first game of Dante's career against CU had a great game, ended up a freshman All-American that year. And then with coaching changes, it just never kind of reached, those peaks again. And also Dante had some injuries the last couple of years too, which is unfortunate. But I think overall, everyone wishes Dante really well and hopes he can find a spot, because there's no doubt he's a guy that can help a number of teams.
It's interesting, and this is what we see now. You get a couple of weeks into the season, and even a key player on any team, if they maybe don't feel like it's, the outlook is, where they're going to be utilized the way they think or whatever, they're going to look at different opportunities so that they can preserve another year of eligibility. It is a bummer. You mentioned it. Dante Wright stormed onto the scene under Mike Bobo, and then unfortunately, you have Adazio's style of offense, didn't really utilize him to the best of his ability, I don't believe. And then, of course, like you said, just doesn't quite make sense with Jay Norvell's offense, and especially the style they're playing right now. So it's a bummer for sure. The other one, though, talk to us about senior Caden Camper, the kicker. He's just leaving the program right now. We don't know about transfer and stuff, but can you go into more detail on this situation?
Yeah, Caden's a guy that, had a pretty up-and-down career. He didn't win the job as a freshman, but then they had kicking issues, and he sort of got it, I guess, partway through the season, was kind of up and down. And then in 2020, again, lost a camp battle. Last year won it, and then, set a program record for both, field goals in a season and field goals in a game, which obviously, those are nice. You want to hit the kicks. But a lot of it was the Adazio offense. I mean, he hit 25 field goals, and 14 of them were inside 30 yards. So you're talking, 20, 22, 25-yard field goals, which basically means the team is, at the 10 or inside the 10. So a lot of it was kind of chip shot. So, yeah, Caden has kind of a confusing resume, I guess. Like I said, a couple records there. But outside 30 yards, he's a sub-60% kicker. So really hasn't had much success beyond those chip shots. So another, kid that, he was 1-for-2 on extra points and 0-for-1 on field goals this year, and I think was probably, you know, in quite a battle, I guess I'll say, to keep being the starting kicker. And there's also some, you know, instances of some, you know, basically fans getting in his face at a game, which I think is way over the line, no matter what player we're talking about. And I don't know what exactly role that played, but it's kind of unfortunate. He's another guy that everyone, you know, I know him a little bit and like him, and players seem to like and respect him. So hopefully he, you know, whatever is next for him, he, you know, finds something he's happy with and is okay with his move. But again, from a football standpoint, you know, it's probably not a big shock because he's a guy that was probably on the edge of, you know, playing or not playing. And so, you know, seeking potential other opportunities. So we'll see if he continues playing football or if he, you know, obviously guys have interests outside of football as well. So he may also do that too. So like I say, the one thing that really kind of rankles me there is, you know, the negative fan interactions. You know, there's, you know, supporting the team, but then there's a line that unfortunately can get crossed during games, especially when a program is going through struggle. So I hate to see that.
So it's kind of a mix there then, Kevin, you know, not knowing what the playing time situation is going to look like, but also just some bad blood getting him to the point where he's just kind of fed up with everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to wonder, and, you know, these people are humans and they're kids in a lot of ways. And I get, you know, 20, 21 years old, you're an adult, but, dealing with, you know, some of the negative stuff that comes from, you know, quote unquote fans. I'm not sure fans is even the right term for people that want to scream at college kids, but,
right.
But yeah, I think that, you know, weighs on everyone, is, you know, so yeah, like I say, hopefully Caden, will be in a good spot, and if he wants to keep kicking, I'm sure he'd have opportunities because he is a guy with a big leg, and when he's on, can be really good. But as we know, kicking is maybe the most fickle and maybe most difficult part of football because it's just such a mental game. I mean, I think every college kicker has the leg ability to be good, but it's much, much more difficult than you just have a big leg.
Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And don't forget, we'll have Rams Weekly coming up today. I'm sure we'll go into even more detail on this. And last one on that. Is there cause, you know, you see Twitter, you see fans freaking out. Cause for concern, any kind of red flags, or both of these moves you look at and just say, hey, just kind of makes sense for where this program's going?
No, I mean, basically, I guess what I say is if you didn't think there would be more changes coming, then you're not paying very close attention. I mean, this is how it goes, especially with the coaching change. There's going to be a lot of turnover, especially a coaching change now in the transfer portal. You know, Jay Norvell, 5 years ago, by the time he got to game one of year two, he had turned over more than half the roster, and that was before, you know, the transfer portal was as it is now. So you knew it was going to be even more dramatic, and he's pretty publicly sort of, you know, challenged the team right now of, you know, basically get on board or get out. You know, if you don't want to do what we're doing, you know, go find a new home because, you know, we need everyone on board right now. So I don't think it's a shock. And, you know, this is actually one of the ways I sort of like the transfer portal is when players, you know, can realize that it's not a great fit for them for whatever reason, they can go find somewhere that's a better fit. I think they should have that right. And players are exercising. Like I said, with the 4-game redshirt limit, I wouldn't be, you know, stunned if there are more changes, and you'll certainly see more across college football over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is the positive to me, for me anyway, with the transfer portal is guys that maybe see how it's going down, how things are being ran, might not, you know, look into the future and think that they're going to get a lot of playing time or whatever, so they can go out and find another opportunity. Kevin, unfortunately, we have to go back to that Middle Tennessee game. Obviously, I mean, that first half, that was about as bad as Colorado State has looked in a long time. They did do some great things in the second half to at least keep it interesting. You and I were leaning forward in the press box in that second half. But talk to us a little bit about that situation. Was that obviously, we all assumed CSU's winning. I think we all assumed they were going to win pretty big.
Yeah, I think so. Jay Norvell this week said, you know, this is a scarred program. It's done a lot of losing over the last 5 years. And I think we saw that in the first half. You know, Norvell mentioned, you know, really bad body language early on. I think we saw, you know, the first play of the game is a pick six, which obviously is about as unideal as it gets. And then it just felt like a snowball effect of, you know, kind of one thing after another. And again, the body language, you saw, you know, heads dropping, so to speak. And it took them, you know, they kind of reeled their way through the first half and at halftime kind of regrouped, although they did give up a touchdown right away in the second half. But then they really turned it on. You know, the defense, you know, Middle Tennessee didn't do anything the rest of the game. And the offense had about 10 minutes of really good play where you saw kind of what they, you know, can and hope to be. They just couldn't sustain, and, you know, that's where this team, you know, is at right now. They show flashes but haven't been able to sustain their play. So, yeah, definitely a frustrating loss in a lot of ways that, you know, if they had just been able to get their feet under them earlier, I think they could have come back. You know, as one of the things I've highlighted is, you know, 17-0, CSU gets the 11-yard line of Middle Tennessee, three straight runs, which was kind of confusing play calling, that ends with a fumble. You know, if CSU scores a touchdown there, it's 17-7, you know, kind of early first half still, and they probably settle in and I would think go win it. But again, that's kind of what I was speaking to, of things just sort of crumbled on them. You know, one thing after another, they let things affect them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's you just kind of saw that snowball effect, as you said, throughout the course of that first half. Talk to us about the offensive line. I know the Rams were without both of their tackles in that game. Clay Millen, certainly, he's going to get better. He's a young guy, decision-making, got to get the ball out faster, all that stuff. But the offensive line for 2 weeks, and obviously against Michigan makes sense, but the offensive line has struggled on the field. And then, of course, you add the injuries to the mix. Doesn't look very good, at least when you're looking at that O-line.
Yeah, it was not good. And this week, I think, was even more of the O-line struggles rather than Clay holding the ball too long. I think, you know, the line was even worse than it was against Michigan, which, like you say, is kind of shocking because, you know, Middle Tennessee, with all due respect, is not Michigan. but they did some very unfortunate circumstances. Brian Crespo-Joaquez, starting left tackle, gets hurt late in the week. Dante Keyes, right tackle, was hurt and tried to play and basically couldn't make it out of the first quarter. So most teams lose both tackles, you know, right before a game, and they're going to be in a lot of trouble, this team especially, because they just don't have the depth. So, yeah, they were not able to really handle that. We saw some changes in the second half, and that's when things started clicking. And we'll see that again this week. I expect Jacob Gardner, who has been playing center, will probably move out to left tackle, which is where he played at Nevada. Dante Keyes, we'll see if he can play Saturday. You hope so, because he's a guy that they really like and can help shore things up. But either way, you're going to see some changes. But I guess the quote-unquote good news is they've had all week to prepare, you know, for how to handle and how to manage the O-line compared to last week when it was sort of a last-minute change they had to do because of injuries.
Yeah, well, we'll see if they can start putting things together against Washington State, who, yeah, they're looking like they might be an okay team, too. So the Rams may be catching that team at the wrong time.
Yeah, this is another really difficult one, and a really solid road win at Wisconsin last week. I think there's one where if CSU can even kind of just hang in, you know, not even threaten that much to win, but just be somewhat competitive, you know, would be kind of a positive, because the good thing is the schedule turns after this. You know, you have Sacramento State, which is a very, very good FCS team. Don't get me wrong. It's an FCS team that you need to find a way to beat. And then you have a bye, which I think CSU really needs. And then Nevada, Hawaii, and what looks to be a really struggling Utah State team. So after this week, you know, there's at least opportunities for wins. So if you can, you know, be all right this week and then beat Sacramento State next week, it wouldn't be the ideal non-conference, but you'd still be leaving it going, okay, like there's a chance to reset and get things going now.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, I know we'll break into it with you and Chris Abshire today at 5 o'clock on Rams Weekly. We'll get into all things CSU, Washington State, and much more. So we're looking forward to that, my man.
Yep, looking forward to it. Always good to talk football.
All right, man.
On Football Friday, which is on Thursday.
I know. I'm throwing. People are just so confused now. I think people aren't even going to go to work anymore. They just have no idea what's happening.
I was going to say, you're going to have a lot of bosses calling you tomorrow when people say, well, my employee didn't show up because they listened to Football Friday yesterday, so they assumed, you know, tomorrow's the weekend.
I'll write some notes.
I was going to say, you need to write some excuse notes.
I'll get a few of those put together. Don't worry. Kevin, I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly, my man, so we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
All right, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. 11:50 the time. We're going to take a short break. We're going to have UNC volleyball coach Lindsay Oates on the program. They're getting set to host the Northern Colorado Classic starting tonight, three games in a row. So a lot of fun action going on right here in our own backyard. So we'll talk to Coach Oates about that at the top of the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.